Good morning. It's really an honor to be with you. We've never felt separated. Honestly, we don't miss the weather. But I promise you, come July and August in Georgia, we're going to miss Michigan summers. So, anyway, it's good to be here. And, I just echo what Peter said when he came up and shared that Jesus is the way. And as he was sharing, two things came to mind. You know, John the Baptist, when he was thrown into prison, I personally believe, I can't prove this, but you know, he went through a period of doubt. Now, that's clear in the scripture. He sent somebody to Jesus, said, "Are you the one, or are we looking for somebody else?" I believe John the Baptist kind of, you know, he was thrown into prison. He was about to have his head cut off and everything. And so, you know, he was a human being. And so he was kind of wavering there. And Jesus said, "Well, send message back to him. And tell him this. Tell him that what I'm doing, nobody else has ever done before. I am the one. And blessed is him who's not offended in me." I believe John the Baptist was offended. And then there was a time in John chapter 6 where Jesus was saying some pretty heavy things about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And a lot of people decided, "Hey, I can't go with this." And so Jesus turns to his choice 12 and he says, "Would you like to leave as well?" In Peter's words, he said, "Where else can we go? I'm not looking for another. I am not looking for another. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm looking for more of what I have in Christ." And I encourage you, you know, we have a tendency. We've got an adversary who lies to us. And one thing he loves to do is he loves to magnify our problems. And what Paul said a minute ago is so essential about prayer. If we go to the Lord first in prayer, the size of the problem goes down. Even though it never changes, our perspective of it changes. And so this morning, I want you to understand, we're going to look at the life of a man. I call Abraham a man of many encounters. Abraham was a phenomenal individual. He was a human being. But he had encounter after encounter after encounter. And there's so many ways we can encounter the Lord. We can encounter the Lord just in a still, small voice. We have a tendency to think an encounter means it's got to be an earth-shattering thing. Well, it can end up being kind of an earth-shattering moment as we step into what God has for us. But many times it just begins with just a simple utterance from the Lord, a still, small voice. And, you know, you can, I was coming up here as we were driving up the road. We didn't fly, we drove, because we have a lot of driving to do while we're here. But I listened to the life of Abraham 6 times from Genesis chapter 12 and through Genesis chapter 23. And I got so connected with Abraham that when he died, I cried. And to me, that was an encounter with the Lord for appreciation of this man who just absolutely blows your mind to see the things that he did, his response of faith. And so today we're going to look at Abraham, a man of many encounters. And I just want you, you can put the first slide up, Romans 4. I want you to see what the Bible calls him. In verse 13 and verse 16 of Romans 4, it says, For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, it's another subject, so that the promise might be sure to all of the seed. Now, we are the seed of Abraham. We're the offspring of Abraham, the spiritual offspring of Abraham. And God's promise is secure to us if we operate in the principle of by grace through faith. That's the way you receive what God has for you. There's no other way to receive it. It just doesn't fall off, you know, it's just not foo-foo dust coming down from heaven. You know, you receive it by grace through faith, but that's another subject. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham. And what's his title? He's the father of us all. Abraham's our father. And we're going to see why that is true. Abraham is the father of us all, whether we are Jew or Gentile. Now, Abraham was not a Jew. That may shock you. But there was no Jew until Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. That's the first Jew. Abraham was from Iraq. He was from Ur of the Chaldees. So he was not a Jew. He preceded the Jews. That's why the Muslims and the Jews claim him, because through Ishmael the Muslims claim him, and through Jacob, Israel, the Jews claim him. So he's the father of us all, whether we're Jew or Gentile. If we are in Christ, that's how you become a child of God through Abraham. Through Christ, we're Abraham's spiritual seed, and we're heirs of eternal life, which we have in Christ, and the free promise of grace. Now, where did this father of us all come from? In Genesis 15:7, we see this, just one statement. I am the Lord. God is speaking to Abraham when his name was Abram. And we'll talk about his name change a little bit later. God said, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees. God not only called him, but God brought him out of a lot. In Ur of Chaldees, it was an idolatrous place. They worshipped fire. It was a pagan place. He was a pagan. God had brought him out of this wicked place and separated him from the men of it and directed him to the land of Canaan so that he could have an inheritance that would pass down through generations. It's the most amazing thing is that Abraham did everything he did for the inheritance of his seed. He didn't do it selfishly. He did it so that his seed would have an inheritance. And from what we can gather from the scripture, Abram was not seeking an encounter with God. There are times that our first encounter, I mean, it's kind of true in my life. I mean, I was under conviction because of the testimony of two friends way back in 1971. But the weekend that God encountered me, I was not looking for encounter. I was having a wild time. And yet God came into my idiocy to expose my heart and speak to me in the midst of my corruption. So many times our initial encounter with God, when we come to him, we're not really looking for him. And Jesus makes that clear. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And that's something we have to understand. So Abraham wasn't looking. And, you know, you can look at different callings. You know, I like to compare Isaiah and Jeremiah. I mean, when God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah was arguing with God, similar to what Moses argued with God. And God spoke specifically to Jeremiah, says, no, I've raised you up to be a prophet, to pull down, to destroy, to plant and to build. And that was a clear face-to-face calling. And Isaiah is a little bit different. Isaiah's calling starts out, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In other words, sometimes it's through the removal of something that we have our hope in that we really begin to see God. And so God speaks to Isaiah and he gives him an amazing manifestation and encounter. And Isaiah, it's like he's overhearing God. Rather than God saying, Isaiah, I've called you, Isaiah hears God say, Who can I send and who will go? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. No less significant. So our encounters may vary, but the outcome is the same. It brings us into a place that we've never been before. And it's a good place. It's always a good place. Abram had many encounters with God, and I think that his obedience resulting from each encounter led to the next, then to the next, then to the next, and on. And as I've been studying his life, I see the encounters that he had in the 14th chapter, in the 15th chapter, and when he goes and he intercedes for Sodom and all of that. None of that would have happened if he had not taken the first step. And here's something we have to understand. we short-circuit the plan that God has for us because we refuse to take the initial step. And then once we do and we begin to experience what God has for us, he takes us further into other things. So obedience is so important, and we're going to see what the scripture has to say about that a little bit later. Abram, his name was Abram and then became Abraham. Abram's first encounter is found in Genesis chapter 12, if you'll put that slide up. This is referred to by many as the Great Commission of the Old Testament. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from. I think those are in red, are they? Yeah, go from. You can't see the red, but anyway, it's red. Go from. When God encounters us, when he speaks to us, he's not only wanting to take us into something, he wants to take us away from something. But it's in the steps of going towards what he wants that what had us bound falls off. Go from your country. Listen to what he's saying. Go from your country, your family, your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. He didn't present Abram a roadmap with every turn and every high place, every low place. No, he just said, go from and go to, and I'll show you where to go. In verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and I make your name great so that you will be a blessing. When Paul was talking about giving, why does God want us blessed so that we can be a blessing? He doesn't want to bless us so we become fat cats. He wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Verse 4. Now to me this is just one of those amazing verses. God speaks to Abram and he tells him, I want you to leave your country, your family, your father's house. And if you'll start going, I'll show you where to go. And verse 4 says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. I want to follow a man like that. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I find great comfort in that. I was 75 years old when we departed Detroit and went to Cobbtown. But we haven't left totally. So anyway, Hebrews 11:8. That's not one of the slides, but listen to this in the Christian Standard Bible. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed and he set out. Called, obeyed, and set out. Called, obeyed, and set out. Now we use this word calling in a very religious and very wrongly lofty thing. It is a lofty thing. But I believe anytime God speaks to us, it's like he's calling me to something. Whether there's a title with it, a position, or anything else, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. God called him, he obeyed, and he set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. And he went out even though he did not know where he was going. Wow. That's faith. It's not presumption. You know, we live in a world where everything's just got to be this. It's got to be all laid out. If you live like that and there's nothing wrong, certain things need to be laid out. But I want to tell you, when you're dealing with God, sometimes he calls you to step beyond anything that you ever dreamed that you would do. He did not even know where he was going. You may not feel like you know where you're going, but if you're following the Lord knows where you're going. I just love it when this, that's okay. God is calling Abraham to break free. Now listen to this. This is so important. Our first president, George Washington, told us to avoid entangling alliances. There's wisdom for that in the scriptures. This is what God is telling Abraham. Free from every entangling relationship, country, family, father's house, All of these were all that he knew. He didn't know anything else. There's nothing evil about country. There's nothing evil necessarily about family or father's house. But we can wrongly relate to all of those, and it cuts off what God has for us. Many times people don't follow God because of family. Peter at Jesus one time, after Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler, Peter said, well, we've left everything to follow you. And Jesus looked at him and said, listen, there's nobody who's left houses or homes or family or lands for my sake and the gospel. He will not receive an abundance more in this life with persecutions. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love family, but family is second to following Jesus. And many people can't get that. Many times, because of various cultures, family comes first. God has to come before everything. I think I'll talk to these people for a while. In following God, God has to come before everything. God was getting him disentangled. Not that he hated his family. We're not to hate. But I'm telling you, family comes second. Let's put it to you like this. If you are my brother or sister in Christ, we have a stronger bond than my natural family that doesn't know Jesus. And some people can't get that. That's what the scriptures say. And we should love those in our family that don't know the Lord. And we do. God is calling him to something he doesn't know at all, to a land, he said, that I will show you. How did Abraham do this? How in the world? How did verse 4 of Genesis 12 come about? Abraham went out as the Lord said. How did he do that? He was moved beyond himself. See, we get entangled with ourselves. We limit ourselves to our natural inabilities. All of us have natural inabilities. God calls us to things that are not possible for us to do in the natural. And so Abraham was moved beyond himself by the revelation he received from the encounter he got with God. When you have an encounter with God, revelation comes with that encounter. And it's that revelation that comes that enables you and me to go beyond ourselves, to step out in fear and trembling. But this is what God is saying. How can I not do what God is saying? We cannot walk in what we have no revelation of. You just can't do it. In other words, if I don't have a revelation about anything, I can't do it. You know, God wants us all to be generous, but he doesn't move through the aisles and invade our pocketbooks. He wants to give me a revelation to where I see it and I respond. Yes, this is what I'm going to do. And that's what he wants with everything. Now, verse 7 of Genesis 12, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So it sounds like another encounter. I've never had the Lord appear to me, but I've had encounters with him. I've had him speak to me. I've had him move in with his presence. And I've many times just a still small voice, so like what I experienced I had driving in the car listening to scripture. It was an encounter that meant something to me. My value of Abraham, I don't worship Abraham, but I thank God for him. And look what Abram did in verse 7. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the south. The Lord appears. Abram builds an altar. Abram calls on the name of the Lord, and he journeys on. Altars are places of sacrifice and memorial. Let's talk a minute about sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when there was an animal that was being sacrificed to the Lord, the entire animal was dedicated to the Lord, the whole thing. And even though it was a dead offering, the instructions were bind the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. It was a dead sacrifice, but the whole thing was fully dedicated to God. Well, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present yourself. Let me read this. I think I've got it here. No, I don't. I'll back up. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your spiritual service of worship. And don't be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. And so here, we're the sacrifice. In the new covenant, we're living sacrifices. And what we want to do is we want to compartmentalize our life. We want to be different from the sacrifice of the Old Testament. The sacrifice of the Old Testament, the whole thing was totally the Lord's, to be consumed for the Lord. And you and I have got to understand that my whole life is the Lord's. There is no spiritual and secular aspect. Everything I do, as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart to the Lord and not to men. For it's the Lord Christ we serve, and it's from Him we will receive a reward. My whole life belongs to the Lord. Every aspect, I can't compartmentalize it. This is why Sunday church mentality is a crazy thing. People come to church and think they've done their duty, and they go live however they want to during the week, and then they come back next Sunday if they feel like it. And that's not God's plan. This is part of the process, and it's an important part. But my whole life is the Lord's, because I'm His sacrifice. But I've got to be the one who sacrifices myself in the new covenant. We find in Genesis 13:4, 13:18, and 22:9. After Abraham's encounters, look at this. He built altars to the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord, and he worshiped Him. We don't have an encounter for the sake of encounter. And there's an element of that in the Christian experience. Oh, I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to get my church on. I'm going to have church. Boy, we know how to do church. You ever heard that? You ever done that? I've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. But what we have, listen, what we have here is for out there. It's to equip me further for out there. And the thing is, what we have here is to enhance my relationship with Him, to carry on with it. In Genesis 14, Abram has an encounter with Melchizedek, who is a type of Jesus. And this encounter moves him to obedience with his money, with his substance. And somebody said it, I don't think it's an absolute, but somebody said that until God has your pocketbook, He doesn't have you. There's an element of that that's true. It's real exciting in this Presbyterian church this morning. Genesis 14, 18 through 24. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him. He blessed Abram. Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And what is Abram's response? He gave him a tenth, a tithe of all. Abram had just been to war and had defeated kings, and he had the spoils with him. But it says that Abram gave him a tithe of everything. Verse 21, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and you take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand, listen to this, I've raised to the hand my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you would say, I have made Abram rich. Abram had been brought to a place where to him, God was everything. And he was not looking to man for provision. Abraham's general pattern was this. He encountered God. The encounter moved him to worship, moved him to obedience, and his obedience led to further encounters. I know I've repeated that, but repetition is very important. That's what he did. He encountered God. He was moved into worship. He built an altar. It moved him to obedience. He carried on, and his obedience led to further encounters. And eventually, it led him to what we can call ultimate worship. Abraham's ultimate worship. In the 22nd chapter, I'm going to read 19 verses, but stick with me in this. Genesis 22, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, I love Abraham's response. Here I am. What do you say when God says your name? Or what do you say when you feel like God's calling you? Abram was Johnny on the spot. Here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning. Wow, that's just, I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, here it's his only son. Now remember, there was an episode after Ishmael was born through Hagar that Abram appealed to the Lord and said, let Ishmael live before you. God said, well, I'm going to bless him, but that's not the seed. The seed's going to come through your own loins when he was 99. And so finally they have Isaac, and I mean, this is precious son. It's the son of promise. It's what he's been moving with God for 10 chapters. He's been moving with God because of the inheritance for his offspring. And here's his promised seed. And God says, I want you to take him and sacrifice him. And Abram rises up early the next morning to obey the most challenging thing he's ever been given. But this is part of Abraham's makeup. Abram thought, God, you've got a problem. The book of Hebrews says that Abraham actually thought that God would be able to raise up him from the dead. So Abram says, okay, God, I'm going to do what you say. I know you, Lord. I know your voice. I know it's you telling me to do this. I don't quite get it, but I'm going to obey you. You've got a plan. Have you ever felt like God wanted you to do something that makes no sense? God always has a plan. He always has a plan. He goes up early. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes, saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, this is what Isaac says, and I understand. Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. That's faith. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham's reply, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. For now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your only son. Abraham feared God more than he feared the consequences of not obeying him. And many times, we fear what God says. We fear obeying him. If we obey him, then that means I'm going to get out of these consequences. But Abraham feared not obeying God. He feared God more than he feared the consequences of not obeying him. Even when it's tough, we have to obey God. We must obey God. And this sets the table for the Father to send his son. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. God the Father, that was a type and shadow of the Father sending Jesus. Verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram, offered it before the Lord, and he called the name of the Lord Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, as it is said in the day of the mountain of the Lord. And I won't read the rest of that. Next slide, though, verse 17. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, God says to Abraham, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Cause and effect. What happens when we obey God? We don't know the totality of it. But when we obey God, it opens the door for God to do further things down the road. When we don't obey God, it closes that door. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now let's look at verse 5 once again. Verse 5 says, the lad and I will go up there and worship. Now here they are. They're at the base of Mount Moriah. And they're going to go up and worship. But the thing that's amazing, he says, we're going to go up there and worship, and we're going to return. We will return. That's another one of Abraham's, I'm afraid to say faith statements because of what those mean today. It was a solid faith statement because he was doing what God had told him to do in spite of the promise of God that seemed to be counter to it. But Abram's about to go up and he says, we're going to go up there and worship and we will come back. Worship. We're going to go worship. Yeah, there's no evidence of a guitar, no songs being sung. He didn't have a CD player. But what did he do? He did true worship. What is true worship? It's the complete, unreserved giving of ourselves. All we are and all we have, our posterity, everything, all to God for his purposes and pleasure. That's what worship is. It's the unreserved giving of ourselves. Just not holding back. Our life is to be a worship to God. Do you know why you should work diligently on the job and not be a clock watcher or a boss watcher? It's because everything you do is unto the Lord. And everything we do is to be worship to God. Abram says, we're going to go there and worship. And they worshiped the highest form of worship. We can sing songs and never worship. And we can actually worship sometimes and never sing a song, although I thank God that worship has become something that we can do with music. Let's look at Genesis 17. I'm beginning to close. The key word is beginning. No, I'm about finished. Genesis 17, 1 through 5. When Abraham was 99, the Lord appeared to him, another encounter. He says, I'm Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Do you know blameless doesn't mean perfect? If you walk blamelessly before the Lord, you can do that and make mistakes. It just means that you don't purpose to go down the wrong path. And if you make mistakes, you fix it by repenting. You understand the difference? So blameless doesn't mean perfect. It just means there's nothing you're holding on to, harboring away from the Lord. Your life's an open book to the Lord. We know Abraham made mistakes. You know, Sarah concocted this crazy idea that because her womb was dead, Abraham had to have relationships with Hagar. And out came Ishmael. And we have the situation with when he goes to Egypt and he lies about Sarah being his sister. I mean, in a way that was kind of true because they had one parent was the same, even though not the same parent. It was kind of an interesting thing back then. But I'm saying that, but the intention was not perfect. And Abraham fixed it. And then when God confronts Sarah, she said, "I didn't lie." God said, "You did lie." So he's dealing with imperfect people, but their hearts get right. See, we have an idea that, man, I can't believe blameless before the Lord. You can if you choose to be. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make stumbles. Just don't make stupid choices and stick with them. In verse 3, Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, as far as I'm concerned, my covenant is with you, and you will be a father of many nations. Just for the moment, skip verse 5. Listen to what God is saying. As far as I'm concerned, you will be the father of many nations. And look at the last part of verse 5. For I have made you a father of many nations. He says, Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations because I've made you a father of many nations. And this is something we've got to understand. There's things that God intends for us, that he's made us to be, we haven't become yet. And so God says, as far as I'm concerned, you shall be that because I've made you that. That's my determination. That's the purpose of my life. And we get caught up in the what we're not. Let's live by what God has made us and end up there. So God says, as far as I'm concerned, you're going to be a father of many nations because that's my purpose for your life. And then the beginning of verse 5, no longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, H, for I have made you a father of many nations. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, in verse 15, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. Encounters, listen, this is so important. Encounters with God confirm and validate our true identity. Many times I like to live as Rodney Lloyd, born in 1949, living at 210 West Poplar Street in Johnson City, Tennessee. But that's not who I am anymore. Because God got hold of me and he changed me. And in the process of my life, I've had other encounters. Because along the way, I've had episodes of stupid. And God dealt with me. He's brought me back. And today I know my true identity. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm a man of faith, not because I don't miss it, but because he's what he's brought me into. And I know my true identity because of the encounters. And many of the encounters have come simply because I've become a student that devours this book. Many of my encounters have just been simply a subtle speaking of this to my heart that changes me. So my true identity is set. So encounters with God confirm and validate our true identity. And our identity is in God, and He chooses to identify with us. That's the amazing thing. My identity is in Him, and His identity is in us. How do I know that? Look at this. This is the name of Jehovah. You can't pronounce it. We add letters to Yahweh. That's the way you spell Yahweh in the Hebrew. But what's the predominant letter there? H. So why did He put an H in Abraham's name? Because that was the predominant letter in his name. So Abraham becomes Abraham. Sarah becomes Sarah. And God becomes known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Nida. He's the God of Paul. He's the God of Paul. He's the God of Bob. He's the God of all of us. He identifies with us. He gives us our true identity in Him, and He identifies with us. He chooses to do that. Are encounters with God important? No, they are imperative. They're essential if we're going to walk along, if we're going to go, if we're going. But I feel this morning that a big part of it is consecration. Commitment, that altar, I mean, that animal in the Old Testament was fully committed, bound to the horns of the altar with cords. Well, our cords are our soul, mind renewed. In other words, we get wired into God and His way of thinking. Did you know the way of thinking in this world is crazy? It's getting crazier all the time. I don't go to the world for my wisdom. I go to God for my wisdom. And so this morning, I want to call you to consecration and dedication. Maybe your family ties have bound you to where you can't walk with God. I'm not saying forsake your family in the sense of have no interest in them. But there's something more significant that has happened in your life. You have become a child of God. You become a child of the Most High God, the only God. There is no other God. The creator of the universe. And He has a plan and purpose for your life. There's destiny for you and for me. And it's our entanglements with people, our entanglements with wrongheadedness towards situations. Or we compartmentalize our lives and we don't want to give it all. This morning I call you to give it all. Give it all, just whatever. And you know, if you're a product of the 21st century education system, you got to be rewired. I was a product of the 20th century education. I had to be rewired because a lot I learned. Thank God for education, but a lot you learn is not right. It gets you geared in the wrong direction. Get geared in the right direction. Get geared with this book and with the Holy Spirit and in a family of people that love you. But become consecrated, dedicated. That whole thing was dedicated. We need to be living sacrifices, all of us, completely dedicated to the Lord. I want to just close your eyes, not to be religious,